do, as Jeff, Pastor Jeff, President Jeff and I talked, was really to celebrate God's kindness. It just feels appropriate and fitting for our church to do so. So that is what we will be doing. I would now invite to the podium Pastor Michael Seawald to begin us with a prayer of thanksgiving.
Let's pray. Oh Lord, how appropriate it is for us to bow our heads and give you thanks. Lord, our very lives depend upon you. This church, Lord, depends upon you, and our seminary depends upon you. We are so grateful for the blessing that you have given us, oh Lord, that this church has had the opportunity to begin a seminary, Lord, and to support it. And from very, very humble and small beginnings, Lord, you're beginning to grow this seminary, both the faculty and the students. And Lord, we have this wonderful building that you've blessed us with. Father, you have been so gracious to us. If this was not your work, Lord, it would not be done. And we know the ultimate end, Lord, of education, of theological education, Lord, is not knowledge in itself, Lord Jesus, but it's to spread the knowledge of you all over the earth. And Lord, it's to that end we pray today, that you would grant these students, Lord, your Holy Spirit, that they may bring your word here and abroad, and that your name might be glorified in the earth. And it's for this we give you thanks, in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you, Michael. We are so thankful at the seminary as a staff and a faculty, a team there, that our elders at the church, as many of you know, serve as the board of the seminary. It's a wonderful way that in this particular work, we're trying to bring together more of the New Testament model of training future pastors, training men for ministry, to have this close connection between church and seminary. So we are so thankful for our elders who really in many ways pull double duty in that respect. So thank you, Michael, for your opening prayer. We'll now hear from the founder and president of the seminary, of course known to all of you, Dr. Jeff Johnson. He does not need an introduction in this room, but we are grateful to the Lord for raising this faithful and courageous man up. He's also a very humble man, as you're aware, and so it's my joy to introduce President Jeff Johnson for a president's greeting.
I am extremely thankful to God. I was just talking to someone just a while ago, and it was amazing as we contemplate and think about what God has done in just a short amount of time. It's the speed in which God has worked that is amazing to me. The first 10 years of ministry here was like going and planting a garden, and you till the ground and you put in your seeds, and there's not much to show for what you've done. And you appear and seem to work harder than the fruit that is being produced. And year after year, you go back and looking for fruit, you're looking for a little bit of evidence that what you're doing is making a difference, and you don't want to grow weary in well doing, but it becomes difficult. But in these last years, you put a seed in the ground and you have all this fruit coming up quickly and speedily, and it's truly supernatural, and it's beyond our ability to do. And all I can say, and I can say this from, I truly believe this, it's not anything that we're doing. It's what God is doing. We're seeing a work of God in our day, and we don't need to take that lightly or just assume it's just another event. What God has done, as around our country, many seminaries are collapsing and compromising and falling. And God knew that was going to happen. And he knew that there would be a need for another seminary before we even had the idea of planting a seminary. And God in his providence brought the pieces together. And I look, as I think about what has happened, I can't have mapped it out. It's like, well, Jeff, you found it. No, I have done nothing. I had no planning. I had no strategy. I didn't say, well, if we can get this person or if we play our cards right, we can get some funding here and let me run over here and do this. And but you look at who God has brought to us within our church, donors, workers, volunteers. Look at our faculty. I can say with confidence, I think we have one of the best faculties in the nation. That's not an easy accomplishment to get men with great character, who are theologically trained, with great character and a love for God, a love for his people. That's, you can get a professor who knows his stuff, but doesn't know the Lord. But we have men who are training men who do know God, love the gospel. And we're a unified group. Our faculty stands on the sufficiency of scriptures. We're not divided about what's important and what we're doing. That wasn't me having a list of people to go and call and recruit. I see who God's moved in here, who God's brought into just our friendships, how things have transpired, and it's nothing less than supernatural work of God. One of the amazing verses is in Joel 2, verse 14. And Joel is saying, who knows whether he, talking about God, will not turn and relent. And I love this. And leave a blessing behind him. Who knows that God might show up and come by and walk by us with favor. And when he's gone, after he comes and visits, when he's gone, who knows, he may just leave a blessing behind. Well, we have seen God. It's like, where did we see him? I didn't know he came. Look at the blessing. Look at what he's left behind. Look what he has raised up. Now, that is a ministry I want to be behind. Now, there's two types of ministries. It's the ones you have to prop up and fundraise and beat the bushes and stir up the troops. And if you're not constantly being a cheerleader, it's going to fail. Because it's your dream, your vision, your goal, but it's not God's. I don't want to be in that type of ministry. I want to be in a ministry that God has given us. One that God is working and doing, and then we can say it's a privilege to walk behind God and pick up the blessings. And that is what we have at GBTS. That's what we have here at the church. And I just want to remind the church, it is a great honor. And I believe it's a historical moment in history, in Christian history, what God is doing in our day. So let us not discount the great work God is doing in these days. God has blessed us. When we started this, I talked to Dr. Tom Nettles. I said, what do you need to do to start a seminary? And he said, you need three things, three B's, bricks, brains, books. Bricks, you need a building. Brains, you need professors. Books. I said, well, we have a few books. We had a few books. I donated a little bit of books to the church. I said, we got a few books. Well, that's get us started. And who knew that God would give us bricks? That God would give us an amazing facility that's literally dropped out of heaven upon us, gifted to us, debt-free. Is that not of the Lord? brains. Look at our faculty. It's amazing. Look at our students. I want to say something about our students. I talked to some of our other faculty members. I really think we have some of the best students of any seminary. Not that I know of the students of other seminaries per se, but we don't have riffraffs. We have men of God that I believe are called into the ministry. We have men that are worthy to invest in. The Bible says, take what you have and invest in faithful men. And God has not only given us bricks and brains, he's given us students. We have 77 students right now. Can you imagine that? Can you believe that? 77 students in just a few years. 26 residential students, 51 distance students, and 19 students that are members of our church. That represents 20 states and 3 countries. We have books, but that's an area that we still need to grow in. If you want to know how can I help GBTS, and you maybe don't have a deep wallet to help us, well, we still, and I would love for us to have the best theological seminary in the state of Arkansas. And I say that like, oh, that's great. Well, you start thinking that's not that big of an accomplishment. But it's something we should have. We should seek to continuously to improve our library. But I want to close with this exhortation and encouragement. Really one to say thanks, thank the Lord. Let us just remind ourselves what God is doing. And two, let's see what we can do to get behind this. I was thinking last night, I couldn't sleep last night, and I was up thinking, what was I going to say? What am I going to talk about? And as I was contemplating some of the things I've already said to you, I just stopped for a moment and prayed. I said, Lord, I want to be a better professor or teacher. I want to be a better president. I want to give more to this. I want to do a better job to take this more seriously, because this is a great work. And it's a work that is not ours. It's the work of God. And I am convinced, and this is what I want you to see, and I want to see this. I want to know this. I am convinced that this indeed is God's work. And if we know it's God's work and God's blessing is on it, then why would we not be full steam ahead? Why would we not go, how else can I get involved? How else can I help this? And pray for the seminary. Pray for these students. These students, these men of God will be trained and sent out across the country. And they're going to be in hostile environments. They're going to be preaching the word to people they do not want to hear the word. They're going to be poor. They're going to be impoverished. They're going to be hated. They're going to be despised. And they need our prayer, and they need our support, and they need our love. And we need to be grateful, because if this is, in my mind, along with the ministry of the local church, what this is a part of the ministry of the local church, is one of the greatest works in the world. What else can you say? I want to get behind something. This is a greater work than a food pantry. This is a greater work than a clothing shelter and a homeless shelter. Now, I'm not saying those are not bad works. This is the work of God dealing with eternal souls and salvation and the gospel. And it's something that we know that God is behind, that God is in. So I ask you to thank the Lord with us, and consider how can I pray more and be more involved in this great work.
Thank you, Jeff. Amen to that vision. Could not agree more. So thankful for what the Lord is doing in our humble work. The Lord loves humble works. So often, as human people, when we strategize, think, what's the most impressive location? What's the most impressive setting? How can we make it look big? And yet, when you come to Scripture, You so frequently see the Lord using tiny Israel, Bethlehem, a tiny group of apostles, and yet the Lord puts small and humble things to tremendous use. And so hopefully that is an encouragement to us. So thank you for those words, Jeff. We're now going to hear three testimonies, one after another, from our students. And we specifically wanted you to hear from our students, at least three of them, in this service, because we want you to know this is what your investment as a church is effecting. This is the fruit that is being born of our church's investment in this seminary. It's not just that there's stuff going on over there on Monday and Tuesday night and scattered other dates. Real men are being formed for the toughest work there is on planet Earth, but the most glorious, the work of pastoral ministry. So we're going to hear from first Chase Moser, who's been here with us for several years, and then we're going to hear from a couple young men I don't think have heard from yet in terms of Wednesday night preaching or something, but they're first year seminarians doing well, Nick Benedict and Billy Froman, and so they're going to come up one after another and share their 5-minute or so testimony on how the Lord is blessing them through the work of the seminary. So first, I invite Chase to come on up and share his, and then Nick, and then Billy.
Good evening. It is a privilege to share about my experience at GBTS. It was about probably 2 years ago that I felt that the Lord was calling me to preach the gospel. As most of you know, I've been in addiction recovery ministry at Renewal Ranch, and I felt like that's probably what I would do for the rest of my life. And then the Lord changed that direction a few years back. And it was then that I began to think about seminary and aspiring to ministry of the word. And I started the search for a seminary at that time. Let me back up. I asked Carrie, I said, what do you think about me going to seminary? And she said, well, I'm surprised it took you this long to say something. I knew that you would go to seminary. And we began to look for a seminary all across the United States, looked at several just incredible places to go and learn, and none of them seemed right. It was also about the same time that we began to look for a church, a church. We were looking for a solid church to plant our lives in, and the Lord led us to Grace Bible Church, and at that time, we were willing to relocate our family for a church and seminary, and now looking back on it, if I had lived across the United States, I would be willing to relocate my family to here in order to be a part of this church and the seminary here. I love that the seminary is a church-based seminary. It's every week that I'm getting encouragement from the members of Grace Bible Church, and I didn't just get a seminary to attend. I got a church, and that is what I am most thankful for, and I praise God for. Dr. Strand told me I had 5 minutes, so I came up with five things that the Lord has done in my time at GBTS, and the first one, and this might not be what you would expect, but I believe that in my time at GBTS, I have become a better father and husband. And I say that because from day one at GBTS, that has been a priority. It has been reiterated over and over that I would rather you be an exemplary husband and father and leave here with a B, then neglect your duty as a father and husband and get an A. And so for that, I'm very appreciative. And so I have godly men out in front of me who have set the example and shown me what that looks like as a new husband and father. And so for that, I'm thankful. Secondly, I have gained many mentors in my time at GBTS. I was looking for that in my life. And so having men of God in front of me that are not just professors, these are men that I also sit beside in church. These are men that know me not just as a student. They know me and my family. Thirdly, I've gained in my time at GBTS a hunger for the Lord. The zeal of the men in the seminary is contagious, and it rubs off on me. But also, on the other side of that coin, just members of Grace Bible Church do that just as much. And so for that, I'm thankful, because many of the members of Grace Bible Church, I learned, are just as educated as those in the seminary. And so this is a side note. This is not one of the five, but the Lord humbled me in coming to Grace Bible Church, because you get here and you realize, wow, I don't know what I thought I knew. I have a lot to learn here. And so I am the student, that's for sure, and I'm thankful to be. Fourthly, knowledge of the scriptures. Obviously, we're in God's word at the seminary, but it's more than that. This knowledge of the scriptures has produced a higher worship of our great God. And it's more than academic. Every class that I've been in has been more than academic. I'm in my third semester of Hebrew currently, and it's not just learning a language. Mr. Kelso has put a desire and a hunger before us for the last year, and he has made me love God's word more, made me cherish God's word more. Sitting in Christian missions class with Dr. Bush, you see how you learn more than just how to be a missionary. You learn that we are fully dependent upon the Lord for all of the work of missions. You sit in a class with Dr. Johnson on ecclesiology, and you learn about the government of the church and all this. But more than that, you learn how to love God's church and God's people. And for that, I am appreciative. And finally, I think that the one thing that I've gained and continue to gain with each seminary lecture, with each homework assignment, book assignment that I'm supposed to read, and sermon that I hear here at GBC, my desire to preach the gospel is growing ever quickly through that. And so for that, I am thankful. I truly believe that the Lord led me and my family here to build a foundation for our lives, and I pray that upon that foundation that the Lord would equip me for gospel, a lifetime of gospel ministry. Thank you, GBC, for your investment in my life.
I'm going to set a timer so I don't go over. There's a lot that could be said. My name's Nick. I moved here from the great country of Texas back in April. I am 10 seconds in, and I've talked about Texas. You thought. When I first moved here, I was struck by a statement from Pastor Jeff, and he said that he wants to build pastors by trade, kind of like a carpenter or an electrician by trade. And that kind of stuck with me, and it wasn't kind of something like an institutional seminary where it's just an education, and I know a lot of friends that just go back to a secular job, and they train for the ministry to go to a secular job, but here that we are being discipled by these professors and pastors, and that this is not something that will fade away, but we are building up a very firm theological and practical application of the scriptures for a very fruitful ministry in the future. And so I've really summarized I've just bringing it down to brass tacks, 2 points, and they go together pretty closely. The first one is pushing me towards Christ-likeness, and the second one is always pointing me to the Word. Did you know, church, that you have professors and pastors here who have gone out to the abortion mill, or what used to be the abortion mill and abortion rallies, to preach the gospel? That there's men here who aren't just going to teach you high theology, but are actually going to live it out. And so in that respect, with the first point and pushing me to Christ-likeness, there's a passive pushing me to be more Christ-like, and that is witnessing the actual obedience of the professors and pastors here. And that, I think, says a lot. There is not just men who are sitting on a high stool teaching from a high place, but they are getting down on their knees and washing the feet of the saints. And then actively, it kind of goes with the second point, just always looking to the scriptures. I've never been in a church, and you know, this is the first time in a seminary, I've never been in a church where I've been washed by the Word so much. It brings great conviction and also encouragement to me. I've never prayed for many of you so much, just because the pastors and the professors have always pushed me to the Word and has greatly affected me. And then in the second point, importing me to the Word, it was kind of funny. One of the first classes I took was Scott Aniol's Theology of Worship. And I just have to say that anytime you ask Dr. Aniol a question, he will always, most always, say, well, if you actually look to the scriptures, it's like, Dr. Aniol, I have a question. It's like, well, you know, if you actually, you know, read the passage here, it's like, Dr. Aniol, I got a question. Well, if you look to the scriptures, and it was always, always, always looking to the scriptures. And then thinking about Dr. Bush's missions class, that what will we build a foundation on if we send men out to go to other countries? You know, is it going to be on some type of theory, missional theory and pragmatism, or is it going to be on the Word of God? And then in Pastor Jeff's class, how will you serve the church? You know, we are learning about the government of the church's role in the world, and the various leadership positions of the church. But are you going to be washing the church with the Word? And I've just been so very thankful for the time here. And just the connectivity of the seminary and the church is something that I longed for, that I was searching for, that I didn't know that I needed. And considering the past few years that many seminaries and churches have compromised on the sufficiency of Scripture, there was this small, bright light in the middle of Arkansas, of all places, that was the Lord calling me to be here. And so I'm very thankful for my time here. Many of you have been in my prayers, and I'm thankful for the church and just the service towards me as a student, but as a fellow brother in Christ. And I look forward to continuing to serve the church and learning under the faithful men in this seminary. So thank you.
Thank you, brothers, for those encouraging words. My name is Billy Froman, for those of you who do not know me yet. I just want to thank everyone here tonight for participating in this most joyous time of celebration. Truly, how gracious is our God. I hope to shed some light on what happens across the road at that gravel lot. My time here at Grace Bible Theological Seminary has been such a tremendous blessing to me and my family. I am so truly grateful to be a part of a ministry where the bedrock for instruction here is found firmly supplanted, grounded by roots without measure, and faith without wavering in the Word of God. I have been admonished and exhorted by faithful ministers here on how to rightly handle the word of truth and how to do so humbly, simply, and boldly. See, humility is an inextricable characteristic of the minister, a quality indivisible of his calling. And I am ashamed to say, there was some unseen pride in my heart when I came to Conway. I was puffed up, convinced of my academic rigor, and I came here looking to boast it. But instead, I was met with men clothed with humility, seeking to serve one another in the instruction and the application of the word, as 1 Peter 5:5 remarks. My pride was scraped, and my ego was bruised. The Lord had impinged the humility of those teaching and studying here upon me. My pride was a weed that needed plucked, and through the humble teaching of the Word of God by these great men of faith, it was. However, this humility is only accomplished through gospel simplicity and the realization that the word is sufficient for all things. Now, do not mistake this as our plea to dumb down the message or to make things simple, but instead as a proclamation to herald the word of God and the word of God alone. For we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and folly to Gentiles, but to those who are called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ, the power of God and the wisdom of God. As the grace of admonition whacked away at my pride, here planted was the simple decree to suffer the loss of all things and count them as rubbish, in order that I may gain Christ, in whom are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. The Lord Jesus, through the wisdom and instruction of those here at Grace Bible Theological Seminary, has taught me that I do not need the trappings of philosophy, man's lofty wisdom, or some critical theory to understand that Christ is the full power and wisdom of God, and only his word can truly testify to his glory. I am eternally grateful to this collection of men here tonight for searing this message of sufficiency and simplicity into my soul. And as you know, they do so boldly. Standing bravely and faithfully are these very same professors and classmates assailing the gates of hell, receiving blows from the compromising and from the culture for simply submitting to Christ and preaching the word of God. But Paul's message in 2 Corinthians 4, 7 through 11 proclaims that we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed, perplexed, but not driven to despair, persecuted, but not forsaken, struck down, but not destroyed, always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our bodies. For we who live are always being given over to death for Jesus' sake, so that the life of Jesus may be manifested in our mortal flesh. The Lord Christ Jesus is King. I am truly blessed. I cannot say that enough, church. I am truly blessed to be here at GBTS, where I have been strengthened amongst these fellow soldiers locked in step, who proclaim the battle cry of Revelation 5:12 in the face of evil. It reads, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and wealth and wisdom and might and honor and glory and blessing. Amen." I thank the kind and gracious providence of the Lord to place me here at GBTS, where I am maturing and growing in my love and knowledge of the Lord. Thank you, brothers, for continuing to show me the truth of the word and the image of Christ by the power of the Spirit, with your focus entirely on the glory of God Almighty. Thank you.
Praise the Lord for those testimonies. I trust that was mildly encouraging to you, perhaps, slightly. It's so good to hear from our students. You hear from a few of us who have the privilege of teaching at the seminary and sometimes at the church, and we're so thankful for that, but it is a blessing to hear from our students, and I pray you'll hear from more and more of them, even as you do sometimes on Wednesday nights or Sunday nights. So it's clear to me, just very quickly, that as Jeff said, the Lord is bringing us strong young men and strong men of all ages to be trained at this school. And these men are not wavering. They do not want anything particularly fancy. They want the Word of God. They want the strong water. And it's having an effect on them. And it's also encouraging to me as the provost to hear of the character of our faculty and how that is having some effect on our students as well. Praise God for that, because if we do not have godly character with a marked emphasis on humility before a great and holy God, turn the lights out. Go home. If we are just peddlers of the Word of God, if we have good ideas, if we can even publish books or speak at big events, but we do not have godly character, the whole thing should be closed down. So I give thanks to God that by His grace, we have a faculty that, though we are no perfect men, yet is marked by that humility, at least present company accepted. A few words of thanks from me now in my update for the church. We are so thankful for a number of groups, and they don't always get thanked. We don't always have an opportunity, again, coming from the seminary to you, to say this out loud. So just hang with me for just a moment as I thank a few groups. This is not the Academy Awards. I'm not about to thank anybody who's ever invested in me in some form, but we are thankful for our board, as I said. Jimmy Federley, Michael Seawald, Tommy Walls, Drew Hargrave, Jeff Johnson, and Danny Thursby. We are thankful for these men, as I said earlier, who often get up very early. I think the board meetings are at some terrible hour, like 5 a.m. or something like this. And they come together for meetings and transact the business of the seminary, and they do so sacrificially. So they work hard to make sure that this is a strong and faithful school. We're very thankful for our faculty. Jeff Johnson, Preston Kelso, Danny Thursby, Jeff Moore, Ryan Bush, Rob Davis, James White, and Scott Annual, and me as well. We are very thankful for the strong men that God has given us to teach and train men for the work of ministry. What a blessing. We're thankful for our staff, John Winham, Regina Pryor, and Jeff Player, and a few of us also serve in staff roles as well at the school, but those three really are the backbone, with Jeff Moore, of course, as well in his role. And so our staff logs so many hours to serve this school. It's kind of funny when GBTS gets hit online on Twitter or something like this, and people take us really seriously at times, and it's good to take things seriously, but I think the Twitter world might think we are bigger than we are, like we're this massive work just cranking stuff out, and we've got, you know, $20 million budgets or something like this, and just scores of staff members scurrying around there trying to generate sufficiency of scripture-driven content, and people feel the need to stand against us. In reality, we are about as small as we could be, and several key members of our team, as many of you know, volunteer their time. They volunteer their time. At least two of them, when they could be basically retired, they easily, at the very least, whether they use that word or not, could be home, could be doing whatever they would like to do in the course of a given day. And instead, these members of our team, several of them, log many hours per week to serve our school. So remember this when you see our budget. I'll give a few stats in just a minute. If there's conversations, if we seem big even here, we're not. We're a small, humble work, and our team is very sacrificial. And they do, I'm not speaking of myself here, but our other members, they do not ask for credit. They do not ask for recognition. They don't complain. They show up day in and day out, and they serve the seminary, and thus, in a sense, they serve you. And so I am grateful for them. I'm trying not to get choked up. It is like the Academy Awards, isn't it? We are thankful just for this night. If you all want to turn and look, you don't have to, but look, it looks like it's a wedding in here. This is far beyond what I was hoping for in terms of the setup. So thank you to Jackie Jarrett, Sue Neuber, and Whitney Pryor for their skills, as the kids say, for their excellent preparation, and thank you to Regina Pryor for her excellent assistance, as usual, in this regard. Thanks to Jeff Moore for his ace oversight as well. Thank you to Bethany Strand, my personal favorite of everybody mentioned here, for her piano playing, elegant piano playing. And above all, thank you for being the church that stands behind the work that we do. That is the purpose of tonight. It is to thank you. So there it is, as we have already said, we are grateful for you and your support of us. Some quick stats, then a word from Ephesians 2:10, and then to the singing. Just a few stats. We have 77 students, as Jeff said, from 20 states. We have 9 faculty members. Both of these represent a dramatic increase just from just a few years ago. Let me just highlight one faculty member and staff member, Preston Kelso, who has powered ahead our accreditation efforts. Accreditation is not the exciting part of a seminary, but we are pursuing accreditation, as I think many of you know, through ARTS, the Association of Reformed Theological Schools, and Preston gave dozens, and I dare say hundreds and possibly thousands of hours to spearhead the accreditation effort. In fact, can we clap for Preston Kelso? Thank you. Thank you. The work that he did, if you can find his hand and shake it, he will never call for attention in this way. He probably doesn't like this, even now. But the work that he did to situate this school, God willing, on sound academic footing, is really incalculable. So we're so thankful for him and for all our 9 faculty members. And, of course, Jeff Johnson is the one who assembled this faculty and deserves massive credit and thanks for that. In 2021, you want some budget stats? You excited for this? In 2021, we had a budget of $150,000. That's a good budget. In terms of arts schools, small confessional schools, that's a solid budget. In 2022, a budget of $370,000, so wow. In 2023, we are projected by John Wyndham's ACE estimates at $442,000, almost $500,000. So the work is proceeding. We count every penny twice. True story. Jeff Johnson has been trying to get a coffee machine, one of those semi-fancy espresso things, and I have joined him in these efforts since I have come. We have been trying to get one for like 2 years, unsuccessfully, because we are so budgetarily conscious. Let the donor understand. That's a joke. In 2022, mostly a joke. In 2022, the seminary building was so graciously gifted to us by the Bakers. They have played such a tremendous role in this. We have outside donations, and they are growing. In the past 11 months, 30 individuals and groups have given over $63,000, which doesn't, I don't know how that sounds to you, may not sound like a lot of money, but we give thanks again for every one of those gifts, every one of those dollars. We give thanks for everyone who has donated anything, including so many of you, whether it's a massive gift, and there have been some as represented in this room, or whether it is a much smaller gift. We know that what matters to the Lord is not the size of the gift, but the heart behind it. So thank you for giving. And that concludes the data portion of my remarks. If you would, just turn briefly to Ephesians 2:10. Ephesians 2:10, this will not be a long expository sermon, just 45 minutes or so. No, this will just be brief remarks. In Ephesians 2:10, we read this from the Apostle Paul to the Ephesian Christians. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. The church is the greatest work of God. The church is a greater work than creation. And creation is a majestic work of Almighty God. And yet, the church is a still greater work. The church is what God the Father, before anything existed, decreed would exist. There would be a people, and that people would be purchased by the very blood of his Son. And that people would live forever in a recreated new heavens and new earth with his Son and with his Spirit. The church has always been the plan of God and the greatest work of God. And everyone in here who is a Christian, everyone in here who has trusted in Jesus Christ as their Savior, who has repented of all their sin, everyone in here is part of the workmanship of God. It's not a Hallmark card to say this. You are God's greatest work. Everyone in here, per God's perfect wisdom, is being formed by God himself. And being formed by good times and happy moments and joyful seasons, and being formed by trials and afflictions and hardships. Every single Christian in here is part of the workmanship of God. You could change the language just slightly and you wouldn't violate the meaning of Paul here. You could say we're the craftsmanship of God. So you could say, with some justification alongside that, God is the master craftsman, and God is crafting you. He may not be crafting you the way you expected it. Things may have taken a turn or a twist for you, or there may be one in days ahead for you, but you must remember that God is working in you perfectly to form you in Christ Jesus, Paul says, for good works. The work of God is all over your life. The fingerprints of God are everywhere to be found. Again, in good times and in hard times. God is accomplishing this. The Apostle Paul did not live all-star Christianity. That's how people think of apostles. Oh, if I could be an apostle. Showman preachers on TV who make $30 million through donations call themselves an apostle and think that they live an apostle's life. An apostle's life is to nearly die over and over again in the case of Paul before he was martyred for the name of Jesus Christ. When Paul says that God is forming us in Christ Jesus, who was slain for good works, trust me, he comprehends both the high seasons and the low seasons. And they are all used for God's glory. Not a minute of your life is wasted. Every good work God has, Paul says, look with me at the text, middle part, prepared beforehand. This is a seminary that stands for the sovereignty of God, because the text does. Christian, even your good works have been prepared beforehand by God. That's how sovereign our God is. He's even gone ahead of us and marked out one after another the good works you and I will walk in. Why dilate on this? Why talk about this tonight? Well, very quickly, because this shapes our approach to training pastors. We are not trying to produce men who will go into churches and produce the equivalent of spiritual rubber duckies. You may have had a rubber ducky. You didn't know I was going here. You may have had a rubber ducky when you were a child and you were graced with what all young children love, a bath, especially young boys. The rubber ducky was a prized possession, perhaps, but it was not an expensive possession, was it? We are not trying to produce pastors who turn out rubber duckies. We are trying to produce pastors who more approach their ministry, their pastoral work, as if they are making violins. Think of a Stradivarius violin. Stradivari lived several hundred years ago. He is estimated to have made more than 1,000 instruments, including just 960 violins before he died at the age of 93, excuse me. So, if Stradivari made violins for 70 years, he only made a handful each year. Why talk about violins? Because we need pastors who aren't trying to produce machine assembly Christians, who aren't trying to just get numbers, who aren't trying to just get stats, but are trying to form like a craftsman, like an under-craftsman, violins, beautiful works that give great glory to God, the Christian. So, that's what we're after as a seminary. We're not trying to go for a fastest approach. We're not trying to go for a whatever works approach. We pray that we will produce pastors who approach the sheep as if they all matter, who know the names of their people, who disciple young couples as they navigate early marriage, who counsel those who are facing illness and death and despair, who want to go to the nursing home, who want to do evangelism and apologetics on a local campus. We want these kind of men who yearn, as God is calling them, to go to the nations and preach Christ where nobody's even heard the name. That is the kind of man we want to produce. So, we can only do this, as I conclude, through your assistance. We are so thankful for you, but we ask you to continue partnering with us. Please pray for us. Pray for us. We need much prayer. We are in spiritual warfare, even as this church is in spiritual warfare. Please give financially to us as you are able, and please labor with us in the work of ministry. And pray specifically that we will produce those kinds of pastors who approach the sheep not as if they are just names in a book, but as if they are the very workmanship of God. For that is what we are. Amen. Now, for the exciting part of the program, I hereby invoke and call the seminarians of GBTS to come and sing. Come on up, stand behind me, arrayed in truth, and with your best vocal performance, please. And know this, here is what we are doing. Can somebody snag me a hymnal, please? We are doing, thank you so much, we are doing two things. Thank you, Matthew. We are going to sing a hymn for you, okay? You can follow along if you like. We are singing When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. As a group, as a sort of men's choir, okay? And then we will sing verse 1 of Joy to the World, which is found on 224. We will sing verse 1 of this Christmas hymn. It is the Christmas season for which we give great thanks. Verse 1 of Joy to the World, and then I would ask that you would rise as a demonstration of our connection, seminary and church, and sing with us verses 2 through 4. Does that sound good? Will you join with us in Joy to the World? All right, gentlemen, starting up from the piano, note When I Survey the Wondrous Cross.
Joy.
And now we will hear from Dr. James Federley to close out our portion with our prayer of blessing.
We do serve an awesome God, and we're humbled by that. Let's bow our heads in prayer. O Lord our God, we confess that your glory and goodness is seen in all of the earth, and how wonderfully it is displayed, even and especially in your church. We ask, Lord, that our hearts would continue to overflow with thanksgiving because of how you have gifted us with all of the blessings in Christ Jesus. We do continue to ask that your blessing would not only be upon our church, but especially this ministry of the church of raising men that would proclaim your word. Would they ever set their hearts upon you, God, to study your law, that they might do it, obey it with a full heart, and then teach the statutes and the rules to all of your people, so that the glory of Christ would be seen in all of the earth. We thank you for your goodness, your power, your Holy Spirit. In all of this, we pray in Christ's name. As a word before we are dismissed, I'd like to invite you guys not only to fellowship with these men. Please do that. Get to know them. Ask about what's going on in their lives, but then join us in the food that's out there. There's a particular table. It's front and center as you walk out there. It is gluten-free. It's fat-free. It is dairy-free. It is, well, there's a lot of things there that are free. If those things don't categorize you, stay away from that table. Richly enjoy the other ones. And kiddos, let's let our seminarians go first, and let's practice self-control as we're doing that, as those that have prepared it have asked me to kindly say that. So with that being said, we're dismissed to fellowship with these men and enjoy those refreshments.